Today on Real Radio.
No other time in the history of the church, I personally believe, are there imposters in the pulpits than now. There are people in ministries that are booming, and they're teaching nothing out of the Bible that is of God. They open their Bible and they'll pull out a verse here and there, but it's too deceptive and self-gaining ways. Very dangerous.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his opening study of a new series. It's a series which takes us through two letters found in the New Testament written by Paul to Timothy. They're known commonly as 1 and 2 Timothy, and sometimes erroneously viewed as having information valuable to those only in full-time ministry. But as believers, we're all in full-time ministry, and therefore we can heed valuable advice from these epistles. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
This is a wonderful statement of deity. First of all, Titus 1:4 says, Paul speaking again to Titus, "My own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior." Jesus is our Savior. Here it says in 1 Timothy 1:1 that God is our Savior. If you're struggling with the deity of Jesus Christ, you need to make a note of this right now. There is only one Savior in all of the Bible. The Bible says so. Titus 1:4 says that Jesus is the Savior. Right here in Timothy 1:1, it says that Jehovah is the Savior. It doesn't take an Einstein to figure out that Jehovah is Jesus. And if you have a problem with that, study your Bible. Don't listen to what the watchtower is telling you at your door. It's false. Jesus is Jehovah God, come in the flesh. The book of Colossians tells us that in Christ dwells all, or is contained, all of the fullness of the Godhead, which speaks of plurality in a human form. That's heavy. 2 Peter 1:1 says, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith," that's you, "with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." And then, just to still any troubled waters, if you're still doubtful, in Isaiah 49:26, the Bible tells us, "I, Jehovah, am Savior and thy Redeemer." Isaiah 49:26. And yet Jesus is referred to as our Savior. And here the two persons of the Trinity are mentioned here. This is very encouraging to us in the first verse there, and it ends by Paul saying, "our hope." Remember, he's telling it to Timothy. And we got to put ourselves in his sandals. Here's little Tim. He's in his mid-30s, possibly late 30s. Paul's in mid-60s. Timothy's got his fingernails bitten down. He's pastoring a church. He doesn't know which way's up. He's panicking throughout Scripture. Paul encourages him, kind of prompts him up. And so Paul says, "Hey, Timothy," writing this letter, "I'm Paul the Apostle, Tim. Remember me, buddy? I mean, we're good friends. We're allies in the faith. My calling, Timothy, is by the commandment of God." Why is he saying this? To boast? No. It's for Timothy's heart. Timothy got the little envelope, opened it up, and said, "All right, a letter from Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ." Yeah, neat. "By the command of God." Yeah, he sure is called, that's for sure. I mean, he's God's man. Our hope? Timothy needed hope. Timothy needed encouragement. He was down. And I love what Paul's doing here to him. Paul is literally supporting him. In Psalm 42:5, it says, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." In Psalm 42:11, it goes on to say, "You are the health," listen, "You are the health of my countenance." That's an old King James word for "you are the health of my face." What is God? What does thinking on God do to us? Give us hope? What is so sad is when you see Christians, even Christians, they're like this. Man, they're down. The situations have drowned them. And we need to say to them, "Hope thou in God. Get a facelift, will ya?" All bummed, all down. "Well, you don't know my finances. You don't know this situation." Hey, hope thou in God. And if that's not enough, then we're messed up, because God is enough. Paul ends this first verse by saying, "Our hope." He doesn't say to Timothy, "Hey, Timothy, man, you're in the pastorate. You've done a lot of good things. The church at Ephesus, it's really moving. You've got a lot of good programs. Man, you've got all these things and these committees, and you're just booming. Your bulletins and stuff looks like a phone book. You got a lot of things happening. Timothy, you're just cranking, man." And the buses pull up at the church at Ephesus, and all of the seminary students get out, and they go, "How do you do this?" And what do you think, Timothy? "Oh, well, we have this program, we have this thing, we have this wonderful how to build a church committee." No way. It's by Jesus Christ. How's it done? In Christ. He's our hope. He'll never let us down. He says there in verse 2, "To Timothy, my true son." To Timothy, my true son. Literally in the Greek, the word is technon. It means my offspring. Timothy, you're my offspring in the fight of faith. I've given birth to you, Timothy, in the faith. Now, Timothy had what a lot of us did never have. He had an incredibly godly mom, and he had an incredibly godly grandma. His mother was Jewish, and his dad was a geek, or Greek. And yet the scripture mentions that Timothy's grandmother and his mom schooled him in the scriptures. To Timothy, my true son. Paul gave Timothy his life, so to speak, in the ministry, being birthed into the kingdom of God. In James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "But he giveth more grace." Listen to this. Grace. God is gracious to us, because look at the following verse, or the next line. "Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." James 4, 6 says, he gives more grace. We expect now more grace. As God prompts us and promotes us along, there's more grace. Paul's telling Timothy, "Timothy, there's grace." And that word grace is beautiful. And this is the keeping grace. It's not the grace to bring you to Christ. It's the grace, listen, to keep you in Christ. Are you aware of that? We talked about that the other night in the study. Are you bound up in works? Are you bound up in performance as a Christian? Listen, there's grace. God will cover you. He'll keep you in the body. I like what Keith Green used to say, there's no abortions in the kingdom of God. God will keep you if you're a true child of his. He will sustain you. Paul is telling Timothy, grace, Timothy, to you. Keeping power to you, Timothy. I like that. The Greek meaning of the word is to sustain, uphold, or to prop. To take a pole and uplift a sagging wall or a drooping branch. Grace. Are you like that this morning? Maybe you're down. Man, maybe your branches are hanging. You need grace. I'm thinking how this church could be if people would exercise the grace that Paul is extending to Timothy right here and right now. Grace. What does that mean in the Greek? Sustaining, to uphold. But you know what? We agree with Walter Martin this morning. The Christian church so often are those who, he says, shoot their wounded. Somebody, even in this fellowship, and it's in every church, they goof up, and boy, here comes the spiritual legalist. Boom! Man, God have mercy on you if you're like that. If somebody trips up, we need to exercise grace. Oh yeah, hi Timothy, this is Paul here. Yeah, you little bozo, I know you're kind of young and you're goofing up. Why don't you get out of the ministry, you loser? Oh, praise the Lord, Paul. That encourages me to continue in the walk of God. And man, somebody goofs up here and there's people in this fellowship even that, let me see, will you hold still so they can set their sights on you? God, drive them away from us. God, pull them out of here. We all goof up. When we goof up, are we going to be like Paul and support one another, sustain each other? We're going to sit around, well, you know, that's exactly what I thought he'd do. Well, now there she goes again. God help us, and God help us to speak out. Paul wrote Timothy a letter. Why don't we pick up the phone and say, hey, sister in the Lord, I've been ragging on you to people. I've been chewing your name and spitting you out. I ask your forgiveness. The sad thing about that is if we do those kinds of things, we are so far from the Lord, we think we can just cruise along in our Christian walk and keep praying. You know, the Bible says, Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, that he ain't listening. You can't turn around and bless your sister, or curse your sister and bless your brother and bless your vice versa and think God picks and chooses and so you ought to too, and bless somebody here and curse somebody there. God doesn't go for that. We need to be careful. We need to bless, man. We need to support. Hey, when I'm wounded, when I'm down, will some of you who are spiritual come and support me and sustain me? God gave us a portion of Scripture in Proverbs 27, the last several verses, where it says that we, me, were to give diligence to the flock that he's given us. And as you read through that, Proverbs 27, it says that the flock, in return, will support the shepherd by giving him clothing and milk. Isn't that neat? Hey, when I'm down, when I become homeless, will you sustain me? Will you sustain your neighbor? Will you sustain the person next to you? Paul sustains Timothy here. Grace, mercy, and peace. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you do not deserve. And when you got those two things working, you got peace. It's real simple. Your life, does it have grace? Yeah. Is God extending mercy to you? Yeah. Well, you know what? This is not the peace with God. This is the peace of God. You know the peace that you and I so quote as the peace that passes all understanding? This is the peace. It's peace, the peace of God. How wonderful. You can weather even the hardships of the ministry, Timothy, because you'll have the peace of God upon your life, holding you and blessing you. But here's Paul's warning against false doctrine. The word there is urged or besought, and here's a beautiful, powerful man of God. Look how precious this is in verse 3. He says to Timothy, Timothy, I invite you. Isn't that neat? He's a man of God. He could have said, I'm commanding you as your spiritual big man to do thus and so. He says, man, I invite you. Timothy, I urge you. There's grace even in his language. He says, Timothy, I urge you, when you went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge. And I love this word charge. It's a very strong military word in the Greek. It means to put under orders. But who under orders? I got to share this from my heart. This verse so speaks to my heart. People, there are those in every body. There are people in the Church of Jesus Christ. They are so in tune with the Lord. They come to you and you just let them go. I just get out of their way. Just do it. And you love to watch them. You don't have to worry about them. They're not self-seeking. They're not boastful or proud. They have the fear of God. They love the Lord, and they just beam behind the scenes or in front of the scenes. They're just beaming for Jesus. And you know what? Their name never comes across conversation for me where I'm at. There's no, hey, they're moving. They're precious. And you never have to worry about them. I love that. They've got orders from God. They don't need anybody to tell them what to do. That's the kind of people we want. You just kind of, the Lord winds them up and they go and you go, wow, look what they're doing. Oh man, look at them. Praise God. And they're such a blessing. Then there are those, like Paul's telling Timothy, you better charge some of those. They're kind of on the fringe. They're kind of out there somewhere, kind of cockeyed in the faith, you know? And they're flirting around with doctrines and stuff. Paul tells Timothy, you better order those guys, charge them, put them under this military command. And who were these people? They were legalists, and they were those that were bound up in mysticism. But they were messed up. Paul says in Romans chapter 16, verse 7, now I urge you, brethren, note those, note them. That means you stamp them with your eye. Note them who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Isn't that heavy? And by smooth words, and flattery of speech, they deceive the hearts of people. In Philippians 2:19, Paul, on the other hand, talks to Timothy about how precious he is in the faith, how wonderful he is to minister with. And there will always be those in the church. There will always be those in your home Bible study or in your ministry. There will be some that you got to keep your eye on because they're prone to go after things for themselves. You know, Paul says in one point, a heavy verse, he says that they do not look out for the things of Jesus Christ, but for themselves. And he says that there are many. In fact, in that verse, he says all these men seek their own selves and they try to fill their own belly. And so there's a great warning here. Great warning. He says, Timothy, as a pastor, man, you better grab the shield and you better have that baby laying out there. And some false shepherd comes along or some false prophet, you better drive him out. I don't know. I hope not, but we'll talk to the ushers. And there's people in the community. They come by here and they're from another planet. I'm not kidding. And I'll grab an usher. And I don't know if you've ever in the hallway maybe overheard us or something, but if you have, this is what we mean. I'll grab the ushers and I'll say, you see that guy? Mark that guy. His spaceship's somewhere out back here. If he opens his mouth, get him out of here. Why? Gosh, Jack, that's not very Christian. You know what? We're wimps compared to Paul. A wolf come into a fellowship, Paul grab him by the robe and throw him out. Why? Somebody can stand up who's a wolf, and maybe you're sitting here for the first time hearing the gospel, and somebody stands up and says something, and it derails your thinking, it derails the message in your heart. God doesn't take that lightly. The ushers at any Bible-believing church, they're under orders. Some weirdo stands up and starts prophesying some thing that's always from hell. They're out. Why? To protect the sheep. There's a protection. Why? There's wolves. And in the last days, they will only escalate. But he tells Timothy, you had better charge those that they teach no other doctrine. Verse 4, nor give heed. Literally, give heed there in the Greek is to give time or to give learning to fables, endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification which is in faith. John Bunyan, remember the author of Pilgrim's Progress? He says this concerning this verse. Some love meat and some love to pick the bones. That's these guys. People come in, they love the meat, they're enjoying themselves, they're listening to the Word of God. And then there's those right in the midst of God's work. Wherever God's work's going on, there's going to be imposters. These guys slip in. They're not faithful. They're sneakers. They're creepers. They come in and they look great. They have smooth speech. They're really excellent, but not in spiritual matters. And they lead people away. He says, don't give them the time of the day, and they'll have some kind of a story to tell. They're very charismatic. And they'll always be where the meat's being served up. God help us to always be able to be a church that is under the eye of Jesus Christ as a blessing. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Paul says to the church at Galatia, if somebody preaches another gospel, let them be damned. 2 Corinthians 11, 4, Paul tells us there to the church at Corinth, there's another Jesus that people are preaching about. Isn't that heavy? We share with people in the neighborhood or on your street or at your job, oh, I believe in Jesus. Well, which one? Because if you believe in Jesus of the Watchtower, that's Michael the angel. It's not the same Jesus that has died for your sins. If you talk to the Mormons, oh, we believe in Jesus. Well, which one? Well, our Jesus is the one who was the brother of Satan. They're brothers. Hey, you can have that kind of Jesus. My Jesus is God come in the flesh. Paul says, man, if somebody preaches another Jesus, another gospel, you better mark them. In fact, they're to be damned if they preach another gospel. In 2 Corinthians 11, 12, Paul says, but what do I? I will also continue to do this, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity regarding things that they teach. Verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles. And no wonder, he says in verse 14, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that if his ministers also transform themselves into the ministers of righteousness. That's the Bible. Whose end will be according to their works. No other time in the history of the church, I personally believe, are there imposters in the pulpits than now. There are people in ministries that are booming and they're teaching nothing out of the Bible that is of God. They open their Bible and they'll pull out a verse here and there, but it's to deceptive and self-gaining ways. Very dangerous.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Paul's first letter to Timothy. It's one of two epistles that give valuable advice to us believers who want to learn the value of Scripture and the responsibility of maintaining the truth of God's written Word. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us again. Now, we just finished a fascinating series in the book of Acts, which largely speaks of the infancy of the church and, to a great extent, the conversion and ministry of the author of many New Testament letters. In fact, to better understand Paul's epistles, the book of Acts serves as a valuable guideline, a roadmap, as it were. To hear the series from the beginning, we've made it easy. What we've done is condensed its entirety all onto one MP3 CD. So again, we extend our usual offer. For your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send it your way. You can get in touch by calling, clicking, or writing. Here's our phone number. By the way, it's toll-free. 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can click realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Or you can do it the traditional way. Send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just mention it by name, the MP3 CD of the Book of Acts. Again, our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.